welcome to the 76th episode of the Pop Pop Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. And I wanted to give a little bit of an update in case you missed the show notes for episode number 75, which went up earlier this week. I am switching things up a little bit when it comes to posting these episodes. I had been trying to post by Wednesdays at 10 o'clock or so, and it's just been way too much to get done in that time between taking care of the two kids and trying to get my work done, and of course editing the show, which takes some time. So I'm shifting the posting time and date to Fridays at 3 p.m. Hopefully this will give me enough time to get the show together, have enough things to talk about, and have enough time to cut it all together and get it up so that I can stick to a schedule. So this week you actually get two episodes of the podcast, which is hopefully something that you will enjoy. And it is kind of a way to say sorry about missing last week altogether. Because as I said in the previous episode, I did actually record on Wednesday. I just didn't have the time to edit until earlier this week. So that's something I wanted to let you know about right off the bat. And now I will get into the things that have been going on with us. As you know, we've been in this long process of buying a house and selling our condo to my parents, but we've hit a couple of really big milestones lately. First off, we officially sold the condo to my parents last Friday. We signed all the documents, and that is now off our plate. The day before all this happened, there was some confusion and talk about having to get all these things done, and I've got to admit that I have become very bad at retaining more grown-up information like loan numbers and big checks and things like that. Anytime I have to talk to the lawyer, I try to take notes right after I talk to him or while I'm talking to him if my hands are free, because this stuff just is not sticking with me and I wind up getting pretty stressed out, which is what happened last Thursday. All this stuff was kind of happening. I needed to get some papers together and it just seemed like everything was happening very last minute. And I wasn't being told about these things that I needed to have until later on. But luckily it all worked out and I got everything together. So on Friday we went in at 3 o'clock to my dad's lawyer's office. We signed all the papers and now they officially own the condo. We are still living here, obviously, until we can move into our house. Unfortunately, that means my dad is also still living in a hotel and my mom is still back in Michigan. But the train is rolling. And when we were there, my dad talked to our lawyer and said, you know, I don't know if it's possible, but if there's any way to make this process go a little bit quicker, that would be great, because, you know, he explained his situation and the fact that, you know, my mom's back in Michigan, all this stuff. And he said that he would move it from the middle of his pile to the top. Now, we had already told him that situation, but I guess he just didn't register it or whatever. But I guess being face to face with someone who is in this situation definitely helped. So that is all done. Then on Monday, we got a call from him saying that the contracts were ready, which meant that it was kind of Monday, later Monday. We had a copy of it. We looked it over. We asked a few questions, got some things clarified. And then my wife and I went in yesterday and signed the paperwork. So we are signed on the contract. Now it goes to them and they sign it. But in the meantime, we were able to send a copy to our loan expert, who's been super nice in helping us out throughout a couple years at this point, of questions and back and forth, and then really getting into the numbers with my wife so they could figure it out. Because again, that's not really my department. I can do a budget, I can do small stuff, but like figuring out these macro money issues is not something that I am great at or well equipped to deal with, especially on days when my brain gets frazzled by kids stuff. So that's all good. We got emails saying today, just a minute before I started recording, that all that stuff is now in the works. They don't see any problems with it, which is good, because a lot of the things in the contract that we signed to buy the house involved, like, if you can't get a loan, this is the penalty, or if this happens, this is the penalty, like all these things. So those are in my head, and even though I didn't really think that they're going to be a problem, they could be, but they probably won't be, because as our loan guy has said several times, he thinks this is going to be a pretty simple process, getting it all together, getting the loan, and then they examine the title once that's done. So once the other people sign the papers, I'm sure I've said this a few times, but it's just exciting because we're so many steps closer at this point. Now the property needs to be appraised, which we think will be appraised at higher than what we are paying for it, which is very good. We are also getting the title search just to make sure everything's on the up and up. And because that's a good protection for you as a buyer in case something is weird with the property. And it's a thing you have to do for our loan. So once those are done, hopefully we can sign. In the contract, it says the contract will be signed by October 29th. But we're hoping that everything goes a lot quicker and more smoothly than that. And we can get in much sooner. Because we still have to get in there, paint, kind of look at a few things that we want to do. And then really move everything in. But obviously, it's our main focus these days, but it's not the only big thing going on in the Deach household. The other big thing is that Lucy has started school this week, which is pretty exciting. She's going to kind of like a science, nature-based preschool, and we found out about the program a while ago. I think I talked about it on an episode, and we're really excited about it. We went and visited in the winter, and Lucy liked it so much she wanted to take her coat off and join the class right there. But she had her first kind of sort of day on Tuesday. She goes in the afternoons. It'll be from like noonish to a time in the afternoon. And that'll be nice to give me some time where I'm just with Jack, and hopefully we'll get his nap in then. And then maybe she'll nap when we pick her up, or maybe naps will phase out. I'm not quite sure. But she went, M took her. M thinks there's about 12 kids in the class, about 50-50 boys and girls, maybe a few more girls than boys. And teachers seem super nice, and the room, the actual school part, reminded me a lot of the preschool I went to back in Toledo, which was attached to the University of Toledo while my mom was going to school. And it was just a neat place. There's a lot of little like play areas, but they also learn about all kinds of things. So she seemed to have a pretty good vibe, although my wife did notice something interesting because it was parents and kids together. She did notice that Lucy has a tendency to kind of mimic the kids around her in relation to how they and how she then deals with being around a parent. What I mean by that is if she's around a bunch of kids who are just running around having a good time and not really worrying about what their parents are doing, she's doing the exact same thing. And she does that with us all the time. But if she's with a group of kids who are really clingy with their parents or who are constantly checking in or want their parent right near them all the time, then she kind of goes into that zone a little bit. Which is interesting. I think she just kind of looks for cues from other kids and kind of follows along with what they're doing. It's something else that my wife noticed when she was at ballet class. There was a time when, you know, one kid really wanted their mom in there and went in to wipe Lucy's nose because it was a little runny. And she was like, "Can you please stay in here with me?" But other than that, she wasn't worried about it or concerned about it. So that'll be something interesting. On the other hand, you know, I'm not really worried about it because when she went to daycare those few times, she seemed super okay with just being like, okay, I'm going to go play with these kids. So I think once she gets in the cycle of preschool and what that all means and kind of the routine of everything, I think she will really enjoy it. She had another interaction with a group of kids this past weekend, actually, that went not so good at first and then wound up being fine. We went to our friend's daughter's birthday party. Now, she's six, so all the kids that were there were older, except for the birthday girl's little sister, who was just a little bit older than Lucy. So the kids, you know, our friend's kids and Lucy and Jack to an extent, have all played together. And then their cousin was there as well, who Lucy also knows. So they all kind of know each other. I don't think she necessarily understood that there was going to be other kids at the party and that she wouldn't have constant access to the birthday girl. And I think that kind of bummed her out a little bit. When we got there, she went to the three kids that we do know. But once all the other ones came, she got a little shy. And as everybody sat down for pizza, it was like one long rectangular table. And the birthday girl was at one end. And because Lucy wasn't fast enough, she wound up being at the other end. So she got really shy at that point and I think was a little frustrated. Which was too bad because literally the entire morning she had been talking about it and in the car on the way there, like nonstop talking about how excited she was for this birthday party. And before that, she'd been carrying around the invitation to the party and I had read it to her and she basically memorized it. But once the meal part ended, all the kids were just kind of playing again and she really got back into the just hangout play groove. The birthday party itself was at a place called The Castle that we actually went to for my birthday about 5 or 6, maybe 7 years ago because they had a roller rink and an arcade. It's a big complex outside. They have like go-karts and mini golf set up that I think we've also gone on before. Inside they have the roller rink and then this ballroom that's not really a ball pit. It's a carpeted floor, but it's a two-story like structure inside a giant net. and there's all these foam balls, and you can just run around, throw them in a bag, and then put them in. The upper section has a variety of cannons, and the downstairs area has a couple of much larger cannons. So it's this whole, like, crazy ball pit thing. And Lucy was running around and having a great time in there, and then ran around in the arcade downstairs a little bit later and played some games. And once we got to that point, she was having a good time. For me, it was a little stressful. I have weird anxiety things. It was kind of nice that we had Jack with us because it allowed me to kind of step away. The room with the ball stuff was loud because there was a bunch of screaming kids in there, but it was also loud because those cannons were all quite loud. They made these loud hydraulic hissing, screeching sounds. And so he was kind of getting sleepy, but he couldn't fall asleep in there because everything was so loud. And so I kind of was walking around in that area, and I went over by the skating area because it was dark, but the music was super loud. And then I saw that they had a little restaurant, and I went in there. I was kind of sitting down, and then I realized that through another set of doors, there was actually a bar. So I went over there, and it was super quiet, and the college games were on. And so I had a beer, and I held him, and he fell asleep almost instantly once we were in that quieter room. And he got to sleep. I got a little break. I got to watch a little football and calm down a little bit. And then we went back out, and that's when we went down to the arcade and all that kind of stuff. But overall, it seemed really good. Like I said, she was shy in the beginning. But again, this was her first birthday party. She had a party when she turned one, but I mean, that was quite a while ago. And I don't think we've been to one since then, but she also doesn't really have friends, and especially friends that would have a party at a place like this. So that was an interesting experience. But overall, I think she's doing really good. With everything. The nap stuff, like I mentioned, will be a little bit tricky. Yesterday, she stayed awake for the whole day until like 4:30 or 5, and then she fell asleep. And this was after going to school. So when my dad got here and Em was done feeding Jack, she came out, and they spent like all this time trying to wake her up. And then it still took her until like 9:45 to fall asleep last night. So I don't really know what to do with her in that regards. I do worry that we didn't really set enough of a schedule with naps. Me, obviously, that would fall on me for the naps. And then the nighttime stuff is a little sporadic. At this point, though, it drives me so crazy after spending all day watching children and basically catering to their every need and then focusing on my work stuff and not really having hardly any time for myself. It drives me insane to then have to sit in a dark room next to her bed for an hour plus to get her to fall asleep. Now, I don't mind going in there when she's tired, but sometimes she'll say, yeah, let's go do books in bed when she's not even close to tired. She just knows that she wants to read books, and then she wants to try and read more books or sing songs and all this stuff. And at that point, it's just, nope, her little nightlight clock thingy goes on, and I sit there with my phone. And it's just, it's really frustrating. Like I said, part of it is just, I don't like, that just is a waste of time to me. I can't really do anything. There is a book I'm reading on my phone with the Kindle app, but I'm not super into it, so like that time isn't very exciting to me. I can't really take a comic that I'm reading in there or a hardcover book because the light's really bright and that's distracting. So it's like, it's this time that I can't use to do anything but like look at Twitter and maybe read a couple emails, read a little bit on my phone or play Solitaire or Scrabble. And that really gets to me, especially because I, like I said, all day, it's all about other people, other things. That time when it would either be me hanging out with my wife or me out here while she's putting him down, it's a little much for me to spend like an hour and a half to 2 hours, especially in there trying to get her to fall asleep. So I've really been just kind of being a lot more lax with it and having her stay up later because I don't want to have to sit in there. And I'm kind of from the school of thought that says that if it does start becoming a problem, then she will adjust how and when she naps. By which I mean if it becomes a problem in regards to school. But I really don't think it will be. At this point, I mean, she's sleeping right now, and she probably fell asleep about 1:25, 1:20. That's pretty unusual. I would imagine part of that is because she was exhausted yesterday. But she's so hard to wake up. And plus, like, if she's asleep at 5, unfortunately, that's a really good time for her to nap as far as I'm concerned, because then I can cook. She's not actually that much of a problem in that time. It's more of her brother who can give me the most trouble and really kind of make cooking difficult. But I don't know. I know I've talked about this before, and I really haven't done anything to fix the problem, although having her just stay up and tell me when she's tired or keeping an eye on her, I mean, I don't mind sitting in there for a little bit, but when it's all day, or sorry, when it's an hour plus, that's really when it gets to me. And at the same time, I understand how difficult it can be to fall asleep. When I was a kid, I didn't have nightmares or anything, but actually falling asleep took me a long time. Anytime I was at a sleepover, I was one of the last ones to fall asleep, if not the last one. And I would get really bored, and, you know, in my room at night, I've talked about this a bunch, but my dad started giving me old-time radio tapes that he had and that my grandma had that she would pass us. And so I would have something to listen to and fall asleep to. I don't know, maybe I'll try something like that, but at this point, she doesn't want me out of the room either, or my wife, if she happens to be in there. And then we're getting to some difficulty at night now, because she'd been doing pretty well as far as not getting up. But in the past couple of weeks, she's been waking up more and coming into our room. Or last night, she just started screaming, and like I was so disoriented when I woke up. I didn't know what was happening. My wife was kind of nudging me because she was already feeding Jack and she was awake. I finally get in there and I'm like, what's happening? And she's got this thing where she doesn't explain what's wrong with her or why she's upset. So you don't know what's going on. Then she said she wanted to come into our room, which just is not working. Jack is going to probably start sleeping between us a little bit. Right now he sleeps in a cradle to the side when he's hungry and brings him up, feeds him, and then puts him back in. But he might start sleeping between us, which is already cramped. We cannot add a toddler. Plus, the cat's always somewhere near my feet. And the whole situation is just tough. So I don't really know what we're going to be doing with that. Just to go back a little bit and kind of set the scene. Like I said, Lucy freaked out. I went in there. I was asking her what was going on. I told her that I would lay down next to her so that she could go back to sleep, which is kind of what I normally do in this kind of situation. And then she started screaming. And like I said, I was so disoriented and discombobulated. I could not handle screaming. Plus, I didn't want her to wake her brother up while he was eating. And so I just said, fine, go in our room. And I followed. So she sat in my spot, and I just kind of laid at the foot of the bed and pretty much almost fell back asleep. My wife finished feeding Jack, and then she was like, Lucy, come on, you can't do this. And then graciously took the child back into her room and laid down next to her until she fell asleep. Now, I mean, I didn't have that hard of a day yesterday because Em was home all day. There was the stress at night, but nothing terrible. This week has actually been pretty good for the most part. Jack's been normal. He's on a 2.5-hour nap right now, which is fantastic. He might wake up and cut this a little bit short. But if you wake me up at the wrong time, I'm almost useless, as is evident by the story I just told. So she took her in and got her to sleep. And I like I said, I'm kind of at a loss, especially if I'm woken up in the middle of the night like that. It's tough for me to deal with. But I think when we move, maybe it'll be a little bit better. I'm sure it'll take a little while for everybody to get used to their new rooms. But it will be nice to have a room for Jack. Maybe we can work on a better pattern with him from an earlier age than we had with her. Because really from the beginning, it wasn't the best setup. So hopefully we can dodge a few of the bullets that we got hit with the first time with him, but I don't really know. There is a book that I heard about on a podcast I listened to that's called The Sleep Easy Solution, and it seems to work really well for them, and I might see if I can get that from the library and give it a read. I don't really know much about it, but it sounded like a good way to kind of get your kid more used to the idea of sleeping on their own. Which, like I said, that's the biggest problem. Right now, Lucy, aside from naps, which she falls asleep for in the room with me in the living room and just stays there, aside from that, at night when she falls asleep, she needs or wants her mom or me with her. So if we can maybe get a little bit away from that with Jack and maybe start kind of weaning her, I guess, in a way from that habit, that'll be good. But for now, we're kind of stuck a little bit. Plus, like I said, with the move coming in the next month or so, I just, you know, I don't want to change too much during that time because I don't want her to have too many things that she's dealing with in addition to school and all that kind of stuff. All right, so I kind of want to move into a few of the kind of recurring things that I've been doing on the show. First off, I want to go into Book Nook territory. We went to the library a couple weeks back, and Lucy wanted to get the Caillou books that she's gotten before, and then I convinced her to get a Tommy DiPaolo book. Now, this is an author who I loved as a kid, and I'm pretty sure he was pretty popular and won, like, Caldecott Newbery Awards and all that kind of stuff. Our daughter has one of his books in her collection. It's called Strega Nona. I don't remember that one from when I was a kid, but I know that I got a bunch of his books from the library and would read them, and I loved his art style, and he actually went to a independent preschool bookstore called Apple Tree in Toledo, probably actually Sylvania, when I was a little kid. And so I have a copy of his book, The Art Lesson, signed by him. So I really like this author. I love his style and all that kind of stuff. Once Lucy started liking Strega Nona, I was like, do you want to get more books by this man? And we did, and we got kind of an unusual one. It's called Tom. And I've got it right here. Came out in 1993, and it's basically about a boy named Tommy and his grandpa, whose name is Tom. And it's just kind of about how, you know, he was a fun older influence on Tommy's life. That's the general gist of the story. But the weird thing is that there is a ton of real estate given over to chicken parts. Now, to understand this, Tom is a butcher. They own a store. And so he's got this stuff. They talk about cutting up the meat for the customers and all this stuff and grinding meat, which is kind of an interesting thing because that's something I do at home. I buy whole meat, I cube it up, and I use a grinder that hooks up to a KitchenAid. So when we got to this page, like, oh, Lucy, check it out. You've seen that before. And then there's this whole thing about cutting chickens' heads off and their feet. And then I'm telling you, let's see, 15 pages of this not very long book. Let's say it's 20 pages. I don't know. Are dedicated to Tom giving Tommy parts of chickens to play with. He gives him a chicken head and tells him, bury this in the ground and it'll make a chicken tree. But you can't look at it. You can't dig it up and check it out. Of course, Tommy digs it up, checks it out, and he's like, oh, sorry, it doesn't work. And then most of the number of pages I just mentioned revolve around Tommy taking two chicken legs home with the tendons sticking out. And if you pull on the tendons, it makes the claws move. And so he, like, puts them in his jacket and pretends they're monster hands and goes and scares people at his school and is told by the principal not to bring chicken feet in anymore. Now, I'm not offended by this or anything. I don't think there's, like, bad material in here. But I gotta say, that chicken tendon stuff specifically grossed me out. And I gotta say, also, it's just kind of a weird story. Like, what's the point of it? Like I said, I think it's that he had this adult who was kind of quirky, and maybe that taught him how to be a little bit different and be okay with it, to the point where you think it's okay to take chicken feet to school. But that makes me cringe, and I gotta say, this is not a book I like so much. I will read a lot of his other stuff. I'm very curious to get my hands on The Art Lesson and read that to Lucy and see if she likes that one, because I remember loving all the colors and the paint and all that kind of stuff in that book. But I gotta say, at this point, Tom is not a Tommy DiPaolo book that I am a big fan of. Shift on over now into TV time. Lucy has been enjoying a variety of different movies and shows lately. My dad introduced her to Over the Hedge, which is, I think, a DreamWorks CGI movie based on a comic strip. It's about this thieving raccoon who meets up with a bunch of woodland creatures who come out of hibernation and discover that there is a big hedge in what used to be a large woods, and now there are people living on the other side. Basically, they went down for hibernation, woke up, and an entire development had been built. And so he's kind of getting them to steal things from the houses. And there's a lot of messages going on in here at work, I think, including how chemically processed foods given to natural creatures isn't the best idea and things like that. I only kind of half watched it this time. My wife and I watched it way back in the day when we first got married and weren't even in the condo that we're in now. I'm pretty sure. We used to rent Wii or Xbox games that were based on animated kids' movies because we could usually both play, and if you died, it wasn't really that big of a deal. So I actually remembered parts of the movie, but in a different framework because we played the video game. So that was kind of a fun thing that we went back to. But Lucy really liked it. She calls it the Raccoon Movie. We watched it, and I think that is one that she will watch a few more times. Her and my wife also went to the library yesterday on their way back from school and got that Barbie Christmas movie that she loves and a new Winnie the Pooh movie that came out a couple years ago, both of which we watched and she's into. But one of the other things I want to talk about is a new release that I actually got sent a review copy of from Shout Factory. Shout Factory is one of my all-time favorite home video companies. Their kids department is fantastic. They put out all the My Little Pony movies and Ninja Turtles and things like that, and a variety of different Transformers and G.I. Joe sets over the years. But they also do really great horror presentations and action movies and things like that. And I'm not saying all that just because they send me stuff. I do really think they're awesome and they happen to send me stuff, which is a good combination. In this case, what they sent me is the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic Spooktacular Pony Tales collection. This actually came out on September 9th. I got a little bit in advance and we've been able to watch it a few times. These are all kind of, they're not necessarily Halloween themed, but more scary themed episodes. Much like another collection that I talked about in a post that I will link to in the show notes for this episode, this is a collection of 6 episodes from throughout the series run that are put together by a theme. And my personal favorite is actually the first one called Ghostbusters. It's a great title, for one thing. And I thought it was a really clever story that incorporated, like, astronomy and a few other things. So it's a cool set. The only, not problem, but a minor issue for us at this point is that Lou's a little bit scared of it. I asked if she wanted to watch it today and she said no, it's scary. Now, to be fair, she says everything is scary. Plus, one of her favorite things to watch these days is the Toy Story of Terror movie that I talked about a couple episodes back, which she adores. So I think she'll get more into it. I find that I am actually getting to be more of a My Little Pony fan. In the post that I mentioned where I reviewed another set, I was like, this isn't really for me. I think it's great for kids and for people who like it. I am not a brony or a pony fan, but I am adjacent, pony adjacent. I support it. I think it's great. Just maybe not the thing for me. The more I see of it, though, I think it's a really clever show. I think it's fun. It's got good themes. And Lucy also enjoys watching the movie that's on Netflix that I can't remember the name of, where Twilight Sparkle comes into like a real world filled with humans and becomes a human for a little while. That was a pretty neat little movie that she likes to watch. And we are getting more into ponies that way. So I think I'm just kind of not exposed enough to ponies to really be a big fan at this point. But like I said, they're kind of winning me over. So good on them. At this point, I think I'm going to wrap up. This feels like a pretty solid episode. If you want to check out the show notes for Pop Papa Napcast Episode 76, head on over to poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. If you want to read more of my exploits online, I am the proprietor of United Monkey. That's monkee.com, my pop culture blog. This week, I think I've got posts set up to go up every day. This will be going up on Friday, so you will have your choice of a look at John Carpenter's The Fog. I'm going through all of his movies chronologically, which has been a ton of fun. I got a post about The Fog. I did a toy commercial Tuesday on some weird aliens toys that unfortunately did not feature Ripley at all, which is insane. I did a trade post about Greg Rucka's excellent conclusion to his run on Wonder Woman, which is a highly recommended comic all around. And I also reviewed the horror movie You're Next. I don't know if I'm going to have anything go up on Friday, but we will see. In addition to all that, I run Monkeying Around the Kitchen. I gave the site a redesign a little while ago. Not really a redesign. I don't know what I'm doing. I went on WordPress and I messed around with other themes. But I think it looks really cool. I like the new design. And I posted a recipe review this week, which is something I haven't done in a while. I'm hoping to get back in on that because I like it. I'm also on Twitter, at PapaDietsch. That's PoppaDietsch. If you have any questions or comments, please head on over to poppapa.com and leave them in the show notes. If there's a subject you want me to talk about on the show, if you have any questions, if you want any advice, I mean, I'm not really qualified, but I've been doing this parenting thing for going on 4 years, so I have some experience. Head on over there, leave a comment in the show notes section, and I will get back to you and address it on the next episode or a following episode. And if you do enjoy the show, head on over to iTunes and leave a star rating or review. That would be great. And I think that about covers everything. So I hope you guys have a great weekend.